I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey kids, welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Thursday, September the 10th, 2015, and I am Brad Locke, along with Derek Russell. Don't forget the W. How are you today?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I thought about calling in Grumpy.
I don't think you had to call ahead. We knew.
These sinuses are still killing me. Nobody cares about that, though.
Okay, well, you'll rise above it.
I will. Hey, we got a lot to talk about on the show today, Derek.
We do. Up first, we've got law enforcement reporter William Moore here with us. William, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
You had a busy day on Tuesday.
I had a full day on Tuesday in the Alcorn County Circuit Courtroom.
Tell us, this has kind of been an ongoing thing, but everything kind of came to a head on Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah, it's been the actual investigation. The auditor came down about 6 months ago or a little more, and it's been investigating a now former supervisor. It was a District 2 supervisor, Dal Nelms, and he ended up getting charged or pleading to 5 different counts. He'll have to serve 12 years in prison, and they're calling for restitution of over $300,000. And this is all since he was sworn into office in January of 2012.
I was going to say, kind of give us a background on this and basically on and then what where we got to on Tuesday with the charges coming down.
Well, according to what the investigation through both the state auditor's office and the district attorney's office, they say that shortly after Nelms was sworn in January of 2012, he started conspiring with other folks to basically cheat the county out of money. He was working through a purchasing clerk and through at least 3 different vendors. And what they were doing is they were creating false bids, false invoices for everything from culverts to, you know, folks cleaning ditches. They were submitting these invoices to the Board of Supervisors, and Nelms was just approving these payouts. And then what he was doing is he was picking up the checks and actually cashing them himself.
So, I mean, to the point where there was even a fake business being created.
They did. They created a fake business initially to bill the county for culverts that never existed. And then through that business, it was supposed to be a piping business, they were able to start, you know, sending in invoices for other things, including drainage, and then going as far as heavy equipment, where Nelms and the vendors would go, you know, to Selmer, Tennessee. They would buy a backhoe and then submit a fake bid to the county, and then 4 days later, sell the backhoe for $10,000 profit.
Wow. Even hearing about it, sounds like our photographer Adam Robinson said yesterday, it sounds like something off of Miami Vice. I mean, it's a very elaborate plan. There was even some vehicles involved in this, were there not?
Well, there was. I mean, in addition, there was a dump truck. There were some pickups where the county was trying to buy pickups. And in one case, they were trying to sell a pickup, and they created false invoices so that one of their friends could get the truck at a cheaper price.
How did they end up getting caught?
Basically, they're not saying exactly who, but there was a whistleblower. Somebody decided enough was enough. From talking with different people, corruption has been widespread for years, 30, 40 years at least, in Alcorn County. I mean, it dates all the way back to the days of the 70s, Buford Pusser, the whole Mississippi Mafia, people running alcohol and gambling, prostitution there at the Mississippi-Tennessee line. Mm-hmm. And basically, the folks just finally had enough.
Tired of looking another
direction. They were tired. I mean, as the state auditor said, you know, there was a culture of corruption in Alcorn County. And basically, the people got tired. Somebody stepped forward. And when they took it to the grand jury, the citizens of Alcorn County sitting on the grand jury said, you know, enough's enough. And they started handing down indictments. Mm-hmm. And then most of these people who ended up pleading guilty earlier this week, there were initially anywhere from 30 to 60 charges against each one.
Wow. Yeah.
When it first came out, and they ended up, you know, a lot of them only pled to 1 or 2 different counts of fraud.
So how many have been indicted now?
Well, it's an ongoing process.
Right. So currently.
Currently, we had 5 people We had a county supervisor, Dal Nelms, the former county purchasing clerk, William Paul Rhodes, and three vendors all pleaded guilty Tuesday. One pleaded guilty on Wednesday morning, and all received at least some jail time. The vendors, most of them got a year of house arrest because most of them did, once they got caught, come forward and start giving more information about how the whole scheme was working, which is why the purchasing clerk was sentenced to 10 years, but half of that was suspended. So he'll serve 5 years in jail, and the supervisor will end up having to spend 12 years in jail. And they're saying this is the most any public official has ever received. It's the longest sentence any public official in Alcorn County has ever received.
Oh, congratulations to Dal Nelms on that.
Yeah.
Confetti streamers. Do you see this as the end of the arrest, or do you foresee more coming in the coming days?
They are still investigating the Dal Nelms part of this. But there are two other investigations that are also somewhat connected.
It obviously took a lot of people to make something like this happen.
Well, on top of that, you had the former sheriff who was indicted as part of another scheme to purchase vehicles where there were fake invoices and fake bids submitted. And then there was also another connected investigation into the Alcorn County Jail, which is all connected to the Mississippi Department of Corrections Commissioner Chris Epps investigation where he was forced to step down. So there's a lot of going on up there. And so, I mean, it's all somewhat tied together. But the investigation is far from over.
It's nowhere near the end of it.
There'll probably be some more arrests coming out of this.
All right, William Moore, thank you. One thing I want to ask you about while we're here, just because it came down this morning. The federal judges ruled against Ricky Thompson. Probably not a shock to anybody, but just what is that the end of that, or you feel like there's more to go on this journey as well?
Well, from what I've had a chance to read so far, what the federal judges were saying was that they did not agree with Thompson's, in part because they're thinking his allegations that the state law did not apply to him, that question should have been taken up in state court instead of federal court. So he might try to bring it up again in a state court, but the problem with that is the state's highest court, the Supreme Court, has already ruled that he's no longer a judge.
Right.
So it could just be a moot point at this point.
Right. Thompson was, of course, removed from the offices of Lee County Justice Court earlier this year. But always interesting as more details emerge on that.
And earlier this week, the Lee County Democratic Party Executive Committee named Marcus Crump, who finished second in the Democratic primary, as the new candidate for the Democratic Party to go on the November ballot to face independent Michael Stafford.
Yeah. So there'll be more coming to that, I assume, as well. William, thanks for joining us.
Glad to do it.
All right. Good stuff from William. Really good context there, I thought, Derek, on the corruption up in Alcorn County. By the way, I meant to mention earlier, y'all can follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Keep up to date with what's happening with the show. And you know, we kind of went, I guess we kind of went live yesterday, Derek.
We did. We're live. I didn't know where you were going with that. You're like, all this corruption. Speaking of corruption, check us out online. I didn't know where we were going with that for a second.
But yeah, we took like some cute little pictures of you and me, and
that's the blackmail. That's how you tied it back to corruption. I get it.
Exactly.
Now.
Those will come in handy later. So anyway, we're all excited about this. Thanks to everyone for listening. Tell your friends. Post about it on social media. Why don't you? Next guest is Zach Osborne. I almost said Osborne.
Yeah, you kind of hesitated a little bit.
Well, he's kind of the new guy, so I'm still trying to get your name right. No, but Zach is our general assignment reporter. He's been on the show before. We're going to talk some education today, Zach. We had a story today about the national merit semifinalist at Tupelo High School. Have several kids in the area, but three from Tupelo High that we wrote about today. And Zach, you know, was talking with Chris Kiefer off the air a while ago, and you know, he said that Tupelo High used to have quite a few of these national merit semifinalists. In recent years, that's kind of fallen off a bit, but they've got three this year. And I know Principal Jason Harris, I think he said he'd like to see those numbers keep going up, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah, he talked about how each year depends sometimes I'll have zero, sometimes I'll have three.
Yeah.
Kind of compare it to the World Series, like enjoy it while you can because it,
yeah.
it might change next year. This year, the people that they got the national merit semifinalists, they took a PSAT class, and they have to take the preliminary SAT to qualify for the national merit semifinalists. And there's actually a class, they said it helped a lot with test scores. And even if they didn't become a semifinalist, they could still apply that to other classes.
Is it kind of a matter of just maybe re-emphasizing this in the school to get those numbers back up, or is this just kind of one of those things?
Yeah, they emphasize it a lot.
Okay.
They really, the teacher, Kelsey McKenzie, really pushed them to, they took practice tests every day.
Sure.
And they do want to increase the numbers, but he's not sure how it'll be next year.
Three Tupelo High students that have earned this honor, seniors Walker Fortenberry, James Grant, and Emma Rice. Now, what's next for them? I know that most of the semifinalists qualify to be finalists, mm-hmm. so how does the process kind of work from here?
Well, they have to submit a detailed scholarship application, and they have to, with academic records and participation in school community activities, and they also have to show where they've demonstrated leadership abilities, employment, and honors.
Okay.
So it's kind of, I would be stressed if I was them.
Yeah,
so.
I bet. I mean, when I was that age, I was just trying to pass biology the second time I took it.
Right.
But
blackmail.
Yeah. Don't ask me about my high school transcript. I passed. That's all that matters.
That's good.
I was not a national anything.
Me either, so.
Zach, you know, this is obviously something that helps the kids when it comes to the next level college. And, you know, these are all seniors now that we're talking about. But, I mean, how big a boost can that give them going into college? And, you know, I guess it would help with scholarships and mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah. All of them, mainly when I asked them why they were excited to be named, they talked about all the scholarship opportunities that would be opening up for them. And two of them didn't really know what they were going to do for college, but they said that the scholarships from the National Merit semifinalists would help them decide where to go to college.
Right.
So it's a big factor in
right.
their next step.
Good. Well, best of luck to them. And as I mentioned earlier, there were several students in Northeast Mississippi that were named National Merit Scholarship semifinalists. Let's go through the list real quick. We mentioned the Tupelo kids. Belmont High School, Kanan Harris, Mississippi School for Math and Science, Justin Apperson, Nathaniel Barlow, Connor Blunston, Rachel Bobo, Tyler Etheridge, Elizabeth Lanford, Michelle Lee, Jason Nicase. Pronounce that right. Ella Stone, Gregory Thompson, Byron Williams, and I'm just going to have to try my best with this one. Maloon Zhu. Oxford Homeschool, Sarah Dabbs and Maximilian Keene. It's a cool name, Maximilian Keene. Oxford High School, Joshua Caraway and Kayla Owens. Starkville High, Tanzim Hassan. And I think that's it. So several kids. Congrats to all of them. And best of luck to them. And Zach, good job on the story. Read it in the Daily Journal today or at djournal.com. Okay, from education, we go to entertainment, and M. Scott Morris.
Hey, I want theme music from now
on. Us. Couldn't we get some theme music?
Theme music, Scott. Like some bum-ba-ba, something like that.
I'll work on it.
Thank you.
Chris will be on that,
Maybe like the opening to the 20th Century Fox.
The fanfare?
Something like that.
We'll get you some Neil Diamond.
Well, Neil Diamond might work. That'd be fine. AC/DC, maybe.
Something epic.
Sweet.
Something, yeah. With a lot of muscle to it.
What about sweeping. The song Epic from Faith No More? Would that work?
You want it all, but you can't have it.
Aren't they making a comeback?
What is it?
Aren't they getting back together? Isn't that band? I think I've heard they're.
And I wouldn't be all this because I'd want to use my time more judiciously. Except the Transporter Refueled was a very bad movie.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that this week's movie review from Scott in today's journal and at djournal.com. Transporter Refueled. Now I've seen the first Transporter and I think parts of the second or third. All I know is they're all kind of the same. Basically, you've got Jason Statham running around, driving a sweet car, periodically.
So European streets.
Yes, periodically beating up 10 guys at a time, and then at some point he loses his shirt, and there's the obligatory love scene. That's about all I know about Transporter. So now you've got
You nailed it.
Transporter Refueled is Jason Statham-less.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's no Jason Statham.
No Jason Statham. It's another guy.
You got so a guy named Ed Skrein.
It's the same character. So is it a reboot or is it have all these things happened
really
to him
explain
before?
Explain it. They just say this is this guy's job, and
it's kind of James Bondish with the whole thing.
Like a cross between James Bond and a mafia guy. I mean, he just drives people for pay, and don't tell me what it is because then I can't. Then I have deniability and.
But 007 to the point that it's just another actor playing the same character.
Yeah, maybe. Again. I mean, they just skip it all together. Yeah. They just say, this is the transporter we fueled. Enjoy. Which some people did in the theater.
You did not.
You did not.
Okay.
You had issue with the car chase scenes, didn't you? Among other things.
You must have been reading the paper.
I've read your story.
I did have issues with the car chase scene.
Yeah.
Because it really seemed to me like often the French police would crash into each other so this guy could get away.
It's the French, I mean.
Huh?
What do you expect?
You think it's the French? I think it's the car chase choreography was lacking, what I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be the French. Maybe that's how the French operate over there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But it happened a bunch. And you know, sometimes you have that in a high-quality American car chase. You have the cops crashing each other maybe once.
Yeah.
Or maybe like in Blues Brothers, like 5 million times. But that was for effect. And
right.
I felt like the car chases in general were just not that good.
Yeah.
Fight scenes were fine, but after a while you just think, well, sooner or later somebody's got to land a hit that makes them bleed.
Well.
But you don't have to, but he's kind of a superhero in this.
Exactly. And, you know, it's whatever is convenient for the plot to keep it moving forward.
And that's the issue. Quite this literally. Is the movie that's like, here's the thing. Two movies that are far superior of this kind, as far as for chases.
Right.
Really, I love the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Yeah.
I felt like those chases were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did you enjoy the chases, you learn more about the characters who were in the chases. So it's
right.
kind of, it told story as it went along.
Right.
And then also, John Wick is a stupid movie if you think about it. If you want, I mean, nothing really makes
back.
Sense. No, no. But everything works because for whatever reason, they accomplish things don't make sense that happen on screen, but it's done so cool that you just love watching it. I mean,
yeah.
I watched it and gave it a good grade, and then it was on special on Comcast. I bought it for 99 cents to watch it again. it's just fun to watch. I mean, if you think about it, everything breaks down. There's no reason for this or reason for that.
Right.
But this movie doesn't really pull off the cool.
What I want to know is, though, did they make at
Do
least...
Do I sound cool when I say that?
Yes. Did they at least make good use of Ray Stevenson? Because I like him. I really
You actually did.
Okay, because I liked him, for instance, in Dexter. He had several episodes in that show on Showtime a couple years ago. Thought he was brilliant in that role. And
he plays the father to
right.
the transporter, and they had some give and take that I thought was enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't enough for the price of admission.
Right.
But there was some stuff to it that was interesting. But on the whole, it was just stupid.
Bad, yeah.
I give it a D-.
D-, that's Scott's grade. You can read about it if you want to. Scott's review is much better than the movie, I'm sure.
Probably better written. Probably.
Yeah, probably
you know,
so.
I'll give
so.
You that, you know. I don't think that requires much ego for me to say that either.
Yeah, you can read it at djournal.com. And Scott, you're on Twitter.
At M. Scott Morris.
At M. Scott Morris. Scott. Always fun. Appreciate your time.
And now we play the exit music, right?
Yeah.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
That'll do right there. We'll just take that and loop it
Fantastic.
Next time. Okay, so basically don't go see Transporter Refueled is what I've gathered from that, Derek.
You know, after years of seeing what I classified as bad movies, I started trying to think about the people that worked on the films and how hard they worked on them, and I've tried to at least give everybody a fighting chance.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah,
not when it comes to this.
No. So if you don't want to go see that movie or any other movie, what else is happening? Excuse me.
Well,
in Northeast Mississippi?
Tonight we have the Down on Main, the final one of the summer.
Yes, we do.
With Tim Easton and James McMurdy. Hopefully, we'll not be rained out. Fingers crossed. Down on Main is always great fun. Happens in front of Fair Park. There's three months, one each month. And this is the last one for 2015.
What kind of how would you describe his style of music? Somebody on Facebook was saying maybe if you like Jason Isbell or
this is a little bit more Americana, maybe folky, but mostly acoustic.
Okay,
they do a good job of picking themes for each month, and we've kind of had a jazzy theme, and had some bluegrass the first month back in July. So this will be September's, and we won't have another one again until next summer. So.
Yeah, so good. I haven't made one yet this year. I usually like to go at least to one per summer, but yeah. Should be nice weather tonight, assuming the rain holds off and it's free.
Nice and cool. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy an evening of free music on Tupelo's front porch.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Improv Comedy Group West of Shake Rag has their monthly show at the Link Center.
It's their family-friendly one.
Their family-friendly Saturday show.
PG.
$5 gets you some popcorn and a night of comedy.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Improv comedy. Sunday. WWE wrestling at the Bancorp South
Wrestling.
Arena. You gonna go watch Randy Orton and the
got something else to do.
Sheamus, okay, all right. Well, 5 p.m. if you're interested at the Bancorp South Arena, they've got a very large range of tickets, anywhere from $18 to $100.
Wow,
upwards of 100. So
is 100 guarantee you'll get blood on your
sweat?
Face?
Definitely.
Okay,
at least some sweat. Maybe a table thrown at you.
Oh yeah,
if you know what's good for you. No. And our main story for today was about TCT's season opener at the Lyric Theater, which opens next weekend. Smokey Joe's Cafe, which
is a musical, right?
A musical review. It is the longest running musical review on Broadway.
Really?
Featuring nearly 40 songs, pop standards from the 50s and 60s, all written, you'll find this interesting, by the same two gentlemen. Several Elvis songs. Lever and Stoller, they wrote. All these songs. There's like 39 of them performed. Yakety Yak.
Oh yeah.
Hound Dog.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of classics. So it's just you got a cast of about 8 up on stage singing just these standards, and good time to go and tap some toes and hum along in the audience.
Sweet.
So that's gonna be at the Lyric Theater next weekend, the 17th.
Next weekend
through the 19th. Tickets are $25.
$25. Sounds like a deal.
You can call the Lyric Theater and get your tickets. So that's some of what's going on in Tupelo. There's also Touch a Truck at Ballard Park on Saturday.
Kids love that.
That's always a good time. I remember it being a lot colder last year when we went. I don't know if they moved it up,
but I
was wearing a coat, and I will not be wearing a coat this weekend.
Probably not.
If I go to that. Also, don't forget next Thursday night, The Price is Right.
Price is Right.
Come on down, Brad Locke.
Will not have Drew Carey.
Celebrity
host
Todd Newton.
Some
would remember from the E! Network.
Okay.
Todd Newton.
I don't watch the E! Network, but I'll take
Well, he was on
it.
The E! Network for years and years and years.
Okay.
So that's going to be great. You can register when you get there to go up on and be, you know, called out, have your name
win
called.
Win a new car.
And do the showcase showdown. I'm just in it for Plinko.
Plinko. Play Plinko. Favorite game.
I don't I don't remember the old one. See, I equate Price is Right, we can talk about this more next week, with being sick. Because that was when I would watch The Price is Right.
Exactly, because it would come on at like 10 a.m.
And you were homesick in bed.
Or maybe watch it in the summer.
Yeah. So that's a lot of my resonation with that. But I remember the yodeling game with the yodeler that would climb the mountain. And if you didn't call the prize in time, he'd fall off.
That was always a tense game.
Yes.
Very tense.
So that's going to be at the Bancorp South Arena next Thursday night. I am really looking forward to that.
I need to go to that.
I think it's going to be a great fun. It's going to be a neat because you're going to know everybody there.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be Tupelo coming together to watch The Price is Right live.
Cool.
I really hope you get called up there. I'd like to see you go for the showcase showdown. Can you make one of those goofy shirt costumes to wear and audience members do?
Could go shirtless, would they?
We'll see you guys next time on the Minimum. No, we're just kidding. Thanks for joining us on today's episode. We'll be back again on Monday with an all-new one. Check us out online, our home on the internet, memo.djournal.com. That is your gateway to find us all other places on the internet, specifically iTunes and several different Android locations like Stitcher and player.fm. As far as iTunes goes, you go rate us, leave us a review.
Yes.
That gets us bumped up a little bit higher.
Give us 5 stars, please.
5 stars. Have the description say this. I will leave 5 stars if Brad promises to wear a shirt at all times.
Okay. I will wear a shirt at all times
if you'll give 5 stars.
Give us 5 stars.
Do it for me. That's really where we're going with that. And then also Twitter at DJournalMemo is where you can find follow us for our latest updates on new episodes coming to you in the afternoons. At DJournal, though, where you can find the latest breaking news for Northeast Mississippi.
Also, at DJournal Now.
At DJournal Now.
There we go.
On the Twitter and then DJournal.com.
There you go.
Where I was going with that. Good job, Brad.
I'm at Brad Locke, by the way.
With an E.
With an E. You're at W. Derek Russell with a W.
That's right. It's a bit. Our producer at Chris Key for joining us today, and we'll be back Monday with an all new episode for you guys, full of what went on over the weekend. See you guys next time.
Later.